Good morning, church family. Yeah, don't tell me I'm like champagne and too bubbly in the morning. I'm not usually like this. But good morning. This is a beautiful day to be here. So I actually came in this morning with no words of wisdom for anybody. And my husband's always telling me I'm full of wisdom, and I'm like, I'm full of something. But he was singing a song this morning that he sang in ninth grade, and it is, "Preacher, don't you worry, my sins are gone." Yep, go ahead, come on. And it's awesome when you think about that, because why do we worry about our sins when we're children of God? He tells us he paid the price for us. He was amazingly sacrificial for us, beyond all understanding. You know, I think about that sometimes, because the scripture says a man loves who would give his life for a friend. And I'm like, could I do that? But I know my Jesus did. And so I'm not going to worry about my sin. Because when we focus on that sin, that's what the enemy wants from us. He wants us to be focused on what we did wrong, so we're not taking assurance and rest in our Jesus, who paid for all of that and made us right. I heard something recently that said worry is like a rocking chair. It's something to do, but it gets you nowhere. So instead of worry, pray. And when the enemy's attacking you about you did this, you should have done that, the best thing to do is turn on some worship music and lift up your voice and your heart in prayer to Jesus. And this is what we're here to do this morning. So please stand with us. And I'm going to pray over the service. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the freedom and the ability to come and worship with you today as a corporate team to coming to worship. And Heavenly Father, we lift our hearts, we lift our souls, we lift our hands to you. And Lord, we pray that our worship fills your throne room with a joyful noise, Lord. And we just pray these things, that you will take this service and make it yours. In the sweet name of Jesus, amen.
On our lips this morning. We thank you, Lord. Hey, yes, we thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord. You're here in this place, and we thank you, Lord. Thank you. upon that cross, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Since I hear I am just a voice. So worthy. We just praise your name in this place today, Father. We thank you, God, that for the cross. We thank you, God, that you sent your son to die for us, God. And I just pray right now for a revelation, Lord, of what that meant, God, to send Jesus to the cross for us, Lord. Lord, to have his blood shed for each and every one of us, God. Knowing exactly what he was doing and why he was doing it. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are so worthy. We thank you, Jesus. I just pray right now, Lord, that every person in this place, if they haven't already, would begin to lay down the burdens, Lord, would begin to lay down the stress, lay down the sin, lay down the anxiety at your feet. 2,000 years ago, it was all paid for. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father.
Oh,
Something changed inside of me forever. I wasn't the same Eric I was previously, the 19 years before that. And I just feel like this morning we need a reminder of the river of life that got imparted onto us and into us when we said yes to Jesus. So I want us to sing this again. I've got a river of life. And I want you guys to think, like, this is the power of God running through us. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Those aren't just words. Those aren't just fun things that Jesus did. Like, that's the power of God. Come on, is anybody excited about Jesus this morning? Come on.
Yeah. So I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to it opens prison doors, sets the captives free. Oh, I've got a little
Son, can we sing that chorus again? The one that I've got a river of life.
And I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captives free. Oh, I've got a river of life flowing out of me.
So in the old days, when I was a youngin', we have a tag on that, and it was, spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. And there's something about that. I can't remember the other two lines, but I'm just going to tell you. When you're speaking life to your own self, and you tell your life, spring up, O well, within my soul, because it says, we all have rivers of life flowing out of us. Do you live like that? Or do you only do that on Sunday morning? Now come on, spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Somebody feeling not whole today? Somebody needing life to spring up within them? Speak life to yourself. Jesus says there's power of life and there's power of death in the tongue. Well, I want to speak life in my body. I want to speak wholeness to my body. Let's speak life, shall we? Do it one more time.
Oh, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets the captives free. Oh, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. Oh, I've got a river of life flowing out of me.
I've got a river of life flowing out of me. This morning, God, because of you, we have a river of life flowing out of us. Help that river to pour over somebody else that may be feeling a little dry today, God. Father, we just pray, Lord God, that as we continue with the rest of this service, Lord, you would be exemplified. You would be honored in our words and in our hearts and in our bodies and in our lives, God. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that we get the opportunity of not only just getting up out of bed and rubbing our eyes and taking breath, we get the opportunity to be in this house together. We get the opportunity to love and be cherished. So Jesus, be honored today. Hallelujah. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So greet somebody this morning and say hey to one another. Speak life to one another. Amen.
Huh? Start talking. What do I say? Yeah, good morning, everyone. Welcome to One Life Family Worship. We have a, not really a custom or ritual or tradition, but it's something that we chose to do at the beginning of the year, and that's we make a declaration over our city. It says that life or death in the power of the tongue, and so we believe that as we speak the will of God over this city, that things will change, that hearts will change, that lives will change, that marriages will be restored, that families will be put back together, that those that are out in the highways and the byways and that are trapped by drugs and addictions, that they'll be coming into the kingdom of God, into the love of God. Amen? Amen. So if you will stand with me, and on three, will declare. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this city. We thank you, Lord, for this valley. Lord, we thank you that this is a place of fruit, Lord, and we believe that that's in the natural, Lord, but we believe in the spiritual, Lord, that this is a place of fruit. Lord, we believe, Lord, that lives are being drawn into the kingdom of God. Lives are being harvested. Lives are having seeds planted in them right now, Lord. Lord, that the churches in this valley, Lord, that are meeting right now, that hearts are opening up, Lord, to receive the word. Hearts are opening up, Lord, to receive the seed of the word of God. Lord, we just pray right now, Lord, that we would see a harvest, an abundant harvest, Lord, for your kingdom. Lord, that you desire, Lord, that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance, Lord. So we believe that for Yakima, Lord, that none would perish and that all would come to repentance. And we just bless Yakima right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We have a few announcements. In the back, in a basket on our greeting table, you'll see a basket that's pretty full now, Eric. I don't know if you saw it, but it's being filled with things that are going to go to the mission, beanies, gloves, and hand warmers. And we're doing this because Eric has now been given or blessed with a job at the mission, and he meets people early in the morning when it's cold, and he really feels the need. He sees the need. And so we as a church are going to, in the next, I think, do we do it one for one more week after this, Eric? One more week. Yeah, so if you want to bring something, if the basket's full, just set it off to the side. But praise the Lord, people are going to be able to, have a little bit more warmth. Amen. And next Sunday after service, that's following the service, we'll have Christmas decorating. And it worked out really well last year. This year we're going to have lunch. We'll have pizza and maybe a few other things. Yeah, pizza. There you go. And believe it or not, if Eric can make it work out, I'm going to put it on you, we'll have the Seahawks game on when it comes on. So, yeah. So please join us. I already tried to make sure that Zeke's going to be here. He's got like the Christmas tree touch. So, because it's seen probably its better years. This may be the last year for that poor tree. Yeah, it's pretty rough. All right. And then I want you to let you know that up here in the front and in the back, there's a box that you can give if you want to. We just receive an offering by you just voluntarily making that part of your worship. So thank you all for who give, and you can give online if you want to as well. That's onelifefamilyworship.com. Just click the give button and it will lead you through the steps. So praise the Lord. With no further ado, have my lovely bride come up here and we'll share.
So I'm just going to tell the story real quick that years ago, the Lord really impressed it on my heart. And I talked to my husband about it, about giving your tithes and offering is actually an act of worship. And that we decided not to take an offering. We decided to let you give an offering, because then it becomes ownership. There's a concept that when you take ownership over something, that you take, it becomes part of who you are. So we did that years ago, and the needs of the house have been met. Amen. Every single time. And so we're so thankful for those that do give, and that if you even have any questions regarding that, we can lead you to scripture about giving your offering, but we do let it be who you are instead of who we are. So amen to that.
Okay. Well, we are waiting to connect. We have a little bit of a network problem going on here today. An extra...
In Jesus' name, we speak life over it.
Amen. An extra IP address that's the same as another one on the network. So there we go. Got it. So we have been going over for the past, not last week. Last week we talked a little bit about having a thankful Thanksgiving. Did everyone have a thankful Thanksgiving this year instead of a resentful Thanksgiving? We did, yes, praise the Lord. My mom went in the hospital last Sunday night, and I wasn't able to make it to the Lord's Supper. That's the first one I've ever missed, so forgive me for it. I was in a place that, to help her, and she was home by Thanksgiving, so it was very thankful. Amen. Yep, and she got to have Cornish game hens is what we had. We gave the turkey a break this year. So, what's that?
Pardon the turkey.
Pardon the turkey, exactly. But we've been talking about 2 Corinthians 13:14. Most people say, what is that? Well, let's take a look at it.
In the New King James Version, it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
And then second, the Amplified Version says?
The grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the presence and fellowship, the communion and sharing together and participation in the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So
some
be
of
it.
You, some of you could probably quote that now after about 6 or 7 weeks of it. But what happened is that over 2 months ago, the Lord really put this verse on my heart. And when he did it, I didn't know all the dynamics of that, what it was going to mean. And so we've gone over what grace means. We've gone over what the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ means. We've gone over what love means, and then the love of God means. We've gone over fellowship and communion, and then the communion of the Holy Spirit. So today, we're going to do what I like to call landing this plane. We're going to hopefully put it all together and be able to communicate really the true mind and heart behind Paul, I believe, when he wrote this. So we'll start with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to just review some verses on each one of these. And the first verse being
2 Corinthians 8:9.
Yep.
For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich.
I think this is really one of the cruxes of the grace of God, is that Christ emptied himself of all of his heavenly, glory. It says that he set his glory aside and he became like you and I. He became flesh and blood. And he did that. He became poor in that, compared to what he had, he became totally poor, and so that we might become rich. And so what is the opposite of us being poor? It's having God's glory. It's having the ability to sit in heavenly places. It's having life and life abundantly in us instead of just having to deal with life the way it is right now.
I like the way you said he emptied himself. That's a visual picture that I can actually see. Like, I can see that in my mind, what that looks like. And then to be filled with the earth instead of the riches of heaven, that's very powerful to me. Very, very powerful.
Yeah. Somebody greater than I actually has said this. I said it years ago. I didn't know it had already been said. But basically, and as hard as it is hard for us to get our mind around it, but God became a man so that man could become like God. Which is crazy when you think about it. God humbled himself and became in the form of man so that we could become like God, so that we could be his children. And being his children, we have his character, his nature, even his qualities. I really believe that, even though it may not show up on a blood test, but because of Christ in me and the Holy Spirit in me says that it gives life to my mortal body. I believe that there's something supernatural flowing through my blood. That it's not just, type what A, B, or whatever, O, or whatever I am. I still don't know my blood type. You probably know it. They had to give me 4 liters of blood a couple years ago, so you'd think I would have figured it out then.
Well, when we were down visiting Grandma in the hospital, the gentleman that was helping her We were praying over her before we left, and he yelled out a big amen. And so I was telling him the story how they had this one. I think you did you tell it here before about the hospital, how they went through and prayed for half a floor and the other half they didn't pray for?
Pretty much,
and
yeah.
And how the half that they did pray for, each one, they got better quicker. Their blood test came back quicker as being whole. That there was just something that happened to those that got prayed for versus the other half that didn't get prayed for.
I like to call it a speedy recovery.
Yes,
they recovered faster.
And I was telling him that story, and he goes, I believe it. Like, he did. I can't remember his name. Do you remember his name? Kevin or Randy or something. Anyway, he was just very interested in that story, but it happens.
Yeah, it does happen. It's true.
And it's very,
exactly.
Yes. Truth.
Prayer
Amen.
Changes things. Here's another verse.
Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast.
And then Revelation 22:21.
The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen.
So by grace we've been saved. So in other words, it's not anything that we do other than maybe receiving it. Other than maybe saying, Lord, I receive your grace. I need your grace. Without your grace, I'm not going to make it. And keep in mind that it's not like we just receive God's grace one time and get saved. We need God's grace working in our lives all the time. And I believe that's why the end of the book of Revelation, that's the very last verse of the Bible, folks. I think that says something. That is, you know, the very beginning of the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the very last of it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's the last verse of Revelation. I believe it's because we need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ with us all the time and working in our lives all the time. God's riches at Christ's expense. Supernatural empowerment to do things above and beyond than we can do ourselves. That's God's grace. Amen?
Amen.
All right, the love of God. Let's look at the love of God.
2 Thessalonians 3:5. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Jude 1:21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life.
May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. You know, the thing is that one of the things about the love of God is that before we knew God, before we knew Christ, before the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ came in our life, I don't think we understood the love of God. I don't think we can understand the love. I don't think we can see it. I don't think we can truly experience, even though it's being poured out on us. Why? What? How do we know that? John 3:16. For God what? Let's all say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved the world before the world loved God. God loves us before we can even have the power to love him. There's no way we can love God without him truly loving us first. And the only way we truly get that love to where we can receive it and live in it, I believe, is with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
When we receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we receive salvation, all of a sudden, I remember the day after I got saved. And again, my salvation was different because what happened was somebody showed me that my life was going down in a road that it was going to crash and burn eventually. And I said, oh, I need to change. And I knew he said something about, you know, Jesus Christ being the bridge between destruction and this heavenly life. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I want to live that life. And so something told me I need to read my Bible. You know, I didn't go to other books. You know, I didn't go try to find, you know, the Quran? I didn't go try to find, I knew I needed to find this in the Bible. So it was like Jesus said to Matthew, hey, leave your tax booth and come and follow me. He didn't say, Matthew, do believe in me. If you believe in me, you can receive my life. And then once you do that, you can, you know, he said, come follow me. So it's like I just started following Jesus. And I remember the next day after I had done that, it's like I felt lighter. It's like I was able to feel a worth, a value that I'd never felt or experienced before. Anybody else relate? That when you're saved, all of a sudden you realize that that you're not just, an amoeba, that crawled out of a gutter or crawled onto the ground and then got a couple of legs, then eventually turned into a monkey, and then finally became this thing that we call, Homo sapien. That's what I learned in biology. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. That we were just once a single cell organ and that was it, and then somehow we became this. That's, and so that's kind of what I knew. But God made it so that I had a value that went beyond this existence. It went beyond the existence of even the world. Now, I didn't know all that in my heart, but that's what was happening. I had a connection with a supernatural place, and that was the heavens of heavens. Whether it's there or here, or whatever it was, all of a sudden value came to my life. The love of God came into my life. And then Jude says, keep yourself in this love. So what does that mean if you have to keep yourself in the love? I think it means that we can get out of the love of God. We can get to the place where, like Vicky was sharing, that we start letting our behavior and the things that we do and, all the condemnation of the devil start piling on us, and we can't receive the love of God. We're not able to experience the love of God. Even though we maybe experienced it 2 weeks ago, we let the enemy start to tell us, you're no good, God doesn't love you, and we start to believe that. When we need to continue to keep ourselves, no, Lord, you love me. Like I've shared before, mm-hmm. I went around the house saying, Lord, you love me. I've been saved over, 30-something years, and I'm walking around the house, Lord, you love me. You love me. I know you love me. It's like some of the songs we sing. And I did that because I started realizing that I needed to believe that beyond what the scriptures say, that God loved me. I needed to have it in my heart so deep, so rich, so strong, that when everything looked bad, I knew that he loved me. So I was keeping myself in the love of God. All right, let's look at another verse on the love of God.
1 John 4:9-11. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another.
There's a lot in this verse, or these three verses, I guess you could say. The idea that there was a manifestation, there was something that was revealed to mankind about the love of God. And what was that? That he sent his Son in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, this really is an accompanying verse for John 3:16. In this, the love of God was made manifest. That word manifest means revealed or showed or declared. Right. Among us. It was shown to us. What? That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. So, how were we living before we knew God? Have any of you ever, gone back? Now, those of you that grew up in Christian households, it's a little harder because, you didn't, poor Eric and I, 19 years old, we were kind of in darkness, just doing our own thing, living our own lives, experiencing our own experiences, and not really knowing God. I mean, we were separated from the love of God. Not that God didn't love us, but that we didn't know he loved us. We didn't know Jesus. And so we were living in an illusion almost. It wasn't reality, because true reality is God.
Right.
People who are living these lives in this temporal existence and don't know of the eternal existence, it's as if they're living an illusion. I mean, when I was unaware of God and unaware of his love and his grace for me, it's as if I didn't really understand life at all. I remember I've said this before, and it was really one of the turning points. One day, it was late at night, and I looked up in the sky, and I said, there has to be more to life than life. Now, it really doesn't make sense, But it does when you see, so that we might live through him. Once we receive Christ, we live. We're now really living.
Now, somebody say, well, does that mean like all your bills are paid and all your needs are met and every single you know, desire and whim you ever had is fulfilled? No, but it means that we have a life that isn't the source in the dirt. The source is from the glory of God in the heavens. Yeah.
But I really believe that when you're looking up to heaven and you're saying there has to be more to life than life, that was the beginning of the manifestation of Jesus to you. I believe he begins to woo us, or he begins to court us, or however you, whatever word or, you know, way that you want to say it, he begins to manifest to us prior to us saying, yes, Jesus, I love you and I want you in my life. It's kind of like a couple. Like, she may not know that he likes her. So he begins to manifest that like. He begins to manifest, hey, I'm kind of into you. I like you. You know, I want to be around you more often. And the only way that she's going to see that is because he began to manifest it to her. And that's how Jesus does it to us in the beginning. So I think the looking up to the stars and questioning,
that was the Holy Spirit.
I believe that was the Holy Spirit beginning to manifest the life of God to you.
It was a drawing process.
It was a drawing process, yes.
But still, I was in ignorance at that point, but still, it was the start of the drawing.
Correct.
You know,
exactly.
It says that no one comes to the Father except he's first drawn. And so that's what was happening. I was being drawn.
Yes.
All right, that's good. In this is love. So if you guys don't want to know what love is, the definition of love, this is it right here. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He's the price. He's the payment. He's the one who paid the price for our sins. Mm-hmm. But love is God, and God is love. I mean, when you hear people say, oh, you know, give me a definition of love. Well, you know, you feel feelings for someone, and or you really, really treasure something. You really like it a lot. I mean, it's like you put a lot of value in it. That's like love, and how you care for it and tend it. Well, that's like, those are like attributes of characteristics of kind of love. But true love comes from God, because God is love. If you're in a situation where there's no love in a relationship, it's because God's not being allowed to come in and let that love be sensed. The love is that love can be there, but it has to be open to the love.
There was this couple, and they had been married for over 30 years, and she was ready to call it quits. She's like, you know, this life sucks with you. Like, you never tell me you love me. You never, you know, you don't do that. And I need to know that. And this is what he said. The day we got married, I told you I loved you. And when it changes, I'll let you know. But until then, I love you. But that's not enough for humans. It's a continual drawing. And that's what Jesus does. He does it through us seeing the stars. He does it through the birth of a baby. He does it through even the love between two dogs. Like this morning, I was showing Mike this video, and I'm bawling at this video, but it's these two dogs that live next door, and they always would come to the fence line and jump up on the fence and lick each other's face and all of that. And finally, one day, they let the girl dog come over and be with the boy dog. And when that happened, it was like their relationship just burst into, they're running after each other and they're happy and they're in the snow and they're throwing snow with their nose on each other. And then they're laying together on the couch and they're snuggling. Like, to me, that's how Jesus woos us. Not licking our face and all that stuff, but you get the idea. Like he woos us, and y'all, you have to be wooable.
Wooable.
Wooable. Is that a word? Can I
Works
say
for
that?
Me.
I guess I just made a new one if it isn't a new one. But we have to be, our hearts have to be turned toward him in a way that as he's wooing us, we want to get closer and closer. And we can in this love.
Amen. Verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And, you know, on our sign out there, I think it says something similar to loving people, loving God, loving people, loving the city. And really, you can't really say you love the city, and you can't really say you love God unless you love God first. You can't really say you love someone else if you don't show love to them and you don't love God. So if you're loving others, it really means you probably love God. If you're not loving others, probably means that you need to work on God's love, filling you. Go back to keeping yourself in the love of God. All right, next one. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit, or communion of the Holy Spirit, means partnership. Means like there's a exchange going on. And, you know, when I became a Christian, like I said, man, my life was changed. I felt different and everything. But I didn't know, like, I got the Holy Spirit. Didn't tell me that when he was given the whole program. But the Holy Spirit was in me. And I know that now because I went to a movie that I shouldn't have been in, and Holy Spirit basically told me to get out of the movie. And I walked out and left my friends there, and they finally came out a few minutes later. "What's going on? I can't watch this movie," I told them. They said, "Why?" "Well, because it doesn't feel right." You know, what's Holy Spirit in me, having communion with me, starting the partnership, which is pretty cool.
That's really cool.
All right, so this is our verse, John 16:7. We want to focus on here for a second.
"But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you."
Yeah, I think this is powerful because, you know, when I received the Holy Spirit, I just thought, you know, and I didn't know I received it, but the Holy Spirit was telling me, get out of the theater. But I didn't realize that he was going to be my helper, and he was my helper through my life. He's been my helper. He's been a comforter during very difficult times. The comforter, the Holy Spirit would come, an advocate. He would fight for me. He would stand in the gap for me. He would speak for me against sometimes the accusation of the adversary. An intercessor, a counselor, teaching me, leading me, guiding me into all truth. He was a strengthener. When my hands were weak, when I was feeble, he lifted up my hands so that I could praise God and get into his presence. I mean, the Holy Spirit is like having Jesus with you 24/7. That's why it's called the Spirit of Christ. When we have Holy Spirit, we have Jesus with us 24/7. That's why he said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." I mean, can you imagine his disciples after Jesus goes to the cross and they're going back to the house afterwards, and they're terrified because he just got crucified, so they're going to come after us. And they're sitting around saying, "Didn't Jesus just say he was going to never leave us or forsake us, guys?
What was
he talking about?" Now, I know he doesn't lie, but I don't get this. You know, I'm like, "Yeah, I'm with you." It's like bait and switch. I don't know what he was meaning. You know, who knows? But then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. They spoke with other tongues. Peter stands up all of a sudden in a huge crowd and starts preaching. Jesus filled them when the Holy Spirit filled them. Mm-hmm. And they knew he was with them. Yeah. They knew Jesus was with them. He didn't leave. Yeah, when he returned, they could say, "Well, he returned after his 3 days, and he stayed with them, you know, for another almost 40 days, you know, and he interacted with them up to 500, it says in the Bible. 500 people saw Jesus in a resurrected form. But that wasn't him remaining with them either, because he left. It was when Holy Spirit came. That's when we get Jesus again. All right, next verse.
Romans 8:15-16. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.
I love this. The Holy Spirit also is confirming when we're in partnership, when we're in communion with the Holy Spirit, fellowship. Guess what? We're receiving a confirmation that we're sons and daughters of God. That we're not just, you know, beings on this earth walking around, you know, in the blind. We're sons and daughters of God. We are, let's put it this way. That would make us royalty. Because it's the Lord Jesus Christ is what? A Lord. He's a king. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. So if we're his, doesn't that kind of make us in the family of royalty? Now, not in a bogus way. Yeah, I'm royalty, you know, and you step on people. But realizing that we have royal roots. There's a treasure in us that is waiting to be discovered. A heavenly treasure. A royal treasure. And I'm here to encourage you that the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with you right now. If you're listening to this online or here in this room, the Holy Spirit will bear witness that you are sons and daughters of God. Yes. You're not a slave to sin anymore. You're free from that. You're not a slave to bondage in fear. The Holy Spirit and God sent us free from that. Yeah. It's just that we have to live that truth. We can't believe the lies and the enemy. Because the enemy will try to tell us, oh no, you're just a sinner saved by grace. You know, you're just going to keep, you know, just working your way, someday going to heaven. It'll work out. Just keep trudging, you know. Well, we're not meant to trudge. We're meant to live victoriously. Now, this doesn't mean we're void of any problems.
Right.
But even when in the problems, we can live victoriously. And what does that mean? It means that the problems don't conquer us. The problems don't overshadow who God is, the reality of who God is. You know, because sometimes they can do that. We let the problems become what we focus on instead of God, his glorious plan for our lives. You have anything?
Well, I'm just thinking about when we lost our son, Aaron, mm-hmm. and the day of the funeral. There were so many people there. And he got up and talked at the funeral and was saying how he was thankful for Aaron's life because it taught him the father heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because our Aaron never could say, I love you. He never could put his arms around us. He was, you know, handicapped his whole life. But it taught us how God feels about us because sometimes we don't love him. Sometimes we don't put our arms around him, metaphorically speaking.
Or talk to him.
Or we kind of ignore him. Do we ignore him between Sundays? You know, that's between you and him. But it taught him that. And that's when I really saw that manifested, what you were saying about, you know, we're still going to have treacheries. We're still going to have pain. We're still going to have things happen in our lives that are hard to understand. But in that understanding, we can exude Jesus. And the way we do that is Holy Spirit in us.
Yeah. Well, we don't let those things move us. In other words, we stay firm on the rock. Mm-hmm. You know, it says that the one who built his house on the sand, the winds came, the storms came, and the house was destroyed. But the ones who built their house on the rock, who is Jesus Christ, his word, his truth, the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Godhead, all of that,
right.
When the winds come, the storms come, the house still stands. Doesn't mean that it's getting battered around, but it still stands.
And it doesn't mean that we're not going to have winds.
Or the storm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's good. All right, so this is something that I really wanted to try to communicate, so I wrote it down. Gay helped me kind of refine it because I really think that this is a process that helps that, first of all, we experience as Christian, but I think it's also a process that we continue to stay in these truths. Because
right.
When he says the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, he's talking about three distinct things mm-hmm. to be with us all. He's talking about three aspects that we need. We need all three, not just one. We don't just need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, as much as that is. We also need the love of God. And we don't just need the love of God. We need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We need all three working in our lives. So go ahead and read that.
When we receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives, we can then see and experience the love of God that was there all the time. We also are empowered to come into communion, partnership with the Holy Spirit.
So when we receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, it starts the process working. And it allows us to experience and see the love of God. Like I said, it did for me. I mean, does anybody else relate? When you first get saved, you're like, you get saved, but then all of a sudden something happens to you. Now, some people say, well, I feel lighter, you know, or I don't feel my sins weighing me down anymore, or I've got a smile on my face. And so, you know, you think that that's just a physical change. No, that's because we're now seeing and experiencing, I believe, the love of God. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ came into our lives. He saved us. We agreed with that work of the cross. You know, sometimes when I'm praying for somebody and I know that they're really hungry and want God, I say, just pray with me a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, you know, I'm a sinner. Forgive me, you know, and open my eyes. And just basically just, you know, I receive you as my Savior. Just something like that. You don't have to pray that. I didn't pray that. I started following Christ.
Right.
And eventually I ended up, you know, sitting in this chair on a Sunday. But it's a long process in between. But I didn't necessarily pray a sinner's prayer. But sometimes I will. I'll have somebody pray that so that they can say, I receive you. Instead of receiving stuff from the world, they receive Christ. They receive his forgiveness.
Yes.
Then once we receive that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we start experiencing the love of God. And the love of God is we realize God loves us. You know, I've done it before where I tried to love people without having the love of God fully in my heart. And it's hard.
It is.
It's hard to love people that aren't lovable. I mean, there's people out there that they're not lovable. They're either you know, mad or at life, or they're angry, or they've been hurt, and so they have a lot of wounds, and they're not very lovable. But when we have the love of God in our hearts, we don't see them through that unloveliness anymore.
Right.
We see them as someone that God died for. We see them as a child of God. And so we're then able to speak to them kindly, even though they speak harshly to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the love of God working in our lives. And then we receive an empowerment, in which I like the word empowerment, because it says that the Holy Spirit is a dunamis power, a supernatural power, a power, explosive power. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead gives life to our mortal bodies. You know, I did a sermon one time, and I started off the very beginning of the sermon with a nuclear explosion, with the sound and a rumble, the speakers and everything, and people are like, oh, that's so powerful. I said, that's nothing. You know, and that's one of the most powerful things mankind knows. Maybe if you're into stars and stuff, well, you have supernovas and stuff like that. But on Earth, a nuclear explosion, or, you know, like one of the volcanoes blowing up, like when Mount St. Helens went off. We think of that as powerful. It's nothing compared to the power of God in the Holy Spirit.
That's in us
that raised Jesus from the dead.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that empowerment comes into our lives and now partners with us.
Yeah.
So I want to remind you that if you've received the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's salvation. That's receiving God's grace towards you in the work of the cross through Jesus Christ, and you're now experiencing, seeing the love of God, then open your heart to the Holy Spirit communing,
yeah,
having partnership with you, oneness.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. I just want to remind everyone that this is supposed to be with us all. This wasn't for just a select group that Paul was writing to. And I want to let you know that if Paul's writing this, this is what he wants. Well, God wants it for us so much more. I mean, Paul was saying in his heart what he really felt like the Lord wanted for them. You know, I recall the scripture in Numbers, where number 6, where it says that the priests are to declare over the people, the face of the Lord shine upon you. You know, his countenance may be good towards you, you know, and give you peace. I'm quoting it very, very briefly, but that's what God told the priest to pray over the people.
Mm-hmm.
And basically that he wanted to bless them. And he does want to bless us. Again, not necessarily financially, you know, so all of our financial needs in every way are met. Even though that's nice. It's nice when that happens. But really, he wants to bless us spiritually and have our soul prosper. Right. Then I believe that the other rest falls. Do you have something else? Does anyone have anything else they want to share? Anything that was triggered there? So, I'm going to end it with this then. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God, and may the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit continue to be with you all. May you be able to experience to the fullness that God wants us to experience it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Gift that you are in our lives, that we can't do this alone. nor should we want to do it alone. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of each and every one of us. That same power to heal blind eyes, to make the deaf hear, to raise the dead, that power lives in us. So God, I just pray that we would be activated today, God. This would not just be a Sunday thing, not just a 10:30 to noon thing, but this would be every single moment of our life thing, God. I thank you that we're on the winning side. I thank you, Lord, that because you won, we won. Yeah, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your love, your joy, your peace, your kindness, all of it. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Love you guys. Have a great week.